Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Having a seat today, get your Bibles and go with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. Last time we were together, we started a series talking about God, the Holy Spirit. This is part number 2. Now, if you didn't get a hold of last week, don't worry. Today's message will stand on its own. You're going to get something from God. But I would encourage you, go back to last week online, find that message and listen to it. Your favorite podcast or, you know, if you even want to go to our app, you can find it on there. Even YouTube, you can get a hold of that message. Get a hold of it because it will bless you. But also, it will build a foundation in your life for what we're going to be talking about today. And very important that we understand that. And like I said, today's message will stand on its own. Also, we're going to quickly review. Let's take a look at the scriptures we looked at last week. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse number 9. And today we're talking about God, the Holy Spirit, experiencing God's presence and power in the person of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse number 9 says this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Everybody say the Spirit. "If indeed the Spirit of God," everybody say Spirit of God, "the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ," everybody say the Spirit of Christ, "he is not his." Notice 3 names that we see for the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Christ. Drop down to verse number 14 through verse number 16. Look at what it says. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Verse 15. "For you did not receive the Spirit a bondage again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption." Everybody say the Spirit of adoption. "By whom we cry out, Abba, Father." That's like saying daddy. It's a close, intimate, personal relationship with God. We cry out to God that way through the Spirit of adoption. Verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Last week, we found out who the Holy Spirit is. Does anybody remember who the Holy Spirit is? He is who? He's God. The Holy Spirit is God. The one thing that we needed to know from last week is simply this, because this is the foundation that everything we're going to talk about today is built upon. The Holy Spirit is God. We need to settle that in our hearts. We need to understand that he's not an it. He's not an impersonal force. He's not something flowing. It's not the universe willing this and things just happening because something out there, this impersonal force in the universe, is making it so. No, no. This is the person of the Holy Spirit. He is not an it. He is a he. That's why it says the Spirit himself, not itself, himself. There in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 16. The Spirit himself, not itself. This is a person. Who is he? He is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not 3 gods, 1 God. This is the Spirit of the Father. This is the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Once we know who someone is, oftentimes the next thing that we want to know is what are they like. That's why I had you guys greet one another, find out your names, and then ask, what do you like? Because that's oftentimes the very next thing that we want to know. You ever been in a restaurant and you had 2 ladies sit down next to you at the table just beside you and they start talking and you shouldn't be eavesdropping, but you know you are, right? You're just kind of leaning over. What are they talking about? Because they're getting excited. And one of them said, "Oh, girl, I got to show you this dress that I bought. It looks so good." And all of a sudden, they're breaking out the cell phone and, "Oh, let me find it." They're going to the pictures and the lady shows the picture and she goes, "Ooh, man, yes, girl, that dress looks so good on you, but I got a question. Who is that man? Who is that man standing right next to you? Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't know. I got a boyfriend." And all of a sudden, they're off into it, right? And what do you hear them say? "What's his name? Ooh, his name is Cedric. Oh, Cedric, you don't meet many Cedrics these days. That's a strong name. I bet he's a strong man. What's he like?" That's what happens, right? Very next thing they want to know, what's he like? Same thing. Here's the Holy Spirit, and we know it's he. He is a person. Who is he? He is God. Well, then what's he like? You know, there's a lot to be said of a name, isn't there? Let's just take a moment and think about this. When we say our Heavenly Father, that's a name that describes both the position and the person of God the Father. He is our Heavenly Father. Heavenly meaning above, right? Heavenly meaning spiritual. Heavenly because God's ways are above our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That means in heaven, everything is perfect. Therefore, our Heavenly Father is the perfect Father. He's not like the fathers we've had on this earth who've let us down, maybe abandoned us or beat us, abused us, taught us the wrong things in the wrong ways. Our flawed fathers who maybe you had a good father, but you still saw some cracks in the armor. Things that you said, "I'm not going to do that, even though I love him and I honor him, I can't do that." He's not perfect. times they let us down, at times they abandoned, at times they do the wrong things. But our Heavenly Father is different. Why? Because He's in heaven. He is perfect. There is no variation or shadow of turning. That means that when we say that He is a good Father, you're a good, good Father. Come on and help me sing this sermon today, guys. It's who He is, right? He's a good, good Father. That means He's a perfect Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And because He's perfect, that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Where your fathers on earth let you down, where they were imperfect, He's the perfect Father. And as a Father, He does everything that a Father should do perfectly. He creates, He provides, He protects, He guides, He instructs, He raises us up. His spiritual family, His children, sons and daughters of the Most High God. He's our Heavenly Father. See, what's in a name? Wow, all that was just in that name. Well, what about Jesus? He's called Jesus Christ, right? Now, I have to let some of you know this, because maybe you don't know this. You've always probably thought this growing up, that Jesus Christ, that Christ is Jesus' last name. It's not. It's not like Dan Roth and Jesus Christ. You know, it's Jesus the Christ. Well, let's start with his name, Jesus, right? This is the name given to Him by the angel. He said, you will call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. See, Jesus is the Old Testament name Joshua. And this man Joshua in the Old Testament, if you look up his original name, is Oshea. Oshea meaning salvation. That was the Hebrew word for salvation. But Moses thought, I don't want this guy getting a big head. And so Moses took the J out of God's name, Jehovah, and he put it on the front of that name Oshea, and now you've got Joshua. And it means Yahweh is salvation. Don't get it twisted, Oshea. You're not salvation. You ain't the stuff, man. You're not all that in a bag of chips. No. God is salvation. And that's the name that the angel came and gave in the Greek, Jesus. It means Yahweh is salvation. Why? Because this is God in the flesh, who came to save His people from their sins. So we can see in the name Jesus is Savior. But then what about Christ? If it's not His last name, then what is it? See, Christ is translated from the Hebrew Messiah. That was the anointed one, the one who had come and who would lead Israel out of bondage and slavery to sin as their Savior, but also who would rule and reign as their King, their Lord, and with the anointing be the high priest. See, we can see in Jesus' name His function. He was going to be the Savior. He's going to be the Lord, the King over all, seated in the lineage of David on the throne in heaven next to God His Father at the right hand of power, but He would also intercede for us, making that provision of Himself for our sins as high priest. He became the sacrifice, but now He intercedes and He empowers the church. That's who He is, all wrapped up in this name, Jesus Christ. So then finally we come to the third person of the Trinity. Remember, this is not three gods, this is one God, three expressions of His person. So when we say God the Holy Spirit, what are we talking about? Well, Spirit, we understand, that's the essence of who He is. Because God is Spirit. He's not natural. He's not a man that He should lie. God is Spirit. That's the true place. That's the true form. That's where He came from, was the spirit realm. Everything in the natural realm proceeded forth from the spiritual realm. So yes, He's Spirit, but what kind of Spirit is He? He's Holy Spirit. And that word holy is important. It's really important for us to understand what holy means. Because if He's the Holy Spirit, it's telling us something about His person and His character. What's He like? He's holy. Okay, well, what does that mean? See, we think about holy as holy Bible, God's holy church, God's holy people. Maybe you've heard of holy water. And what do we say about, well, that's associated with God, right? Holy means associated with God. I would say yes, in a basic thought and basic terminology. But if the Holy Spirit is God, then He's not just associated with God. That shows us there's some weakness in that, right? It means that holy means so much more. See, holy really means exclusive. What do I mean by that? Well, think about this. Set apart, right? If I had a cake at my house, and I cut a slice of that cake out, and I put it on a plate, and I set it to the side, and I said, hey, everyone, I need you to know something. All this is cake, but this cake over here is my cake. I set it apart for a specific purpose. You can have all this Pac-Man shape over here, but this little triangle, this little slice, mine. What am I doing? I'm setting apart for a specific purpose. That little slice on that plate is holy. It's exclusive. It's not yours. It's mine. It's different than the rest. See, in the world, we need to understand that there are demons who would set themselves up as little gods, lowercase g, little gods, right? They want us to serve and worship them. And we can see this expression in ancient cultures that they would create idols, images of the sun and the moon, the stars, the different animals and creatures and that sort of a thing, even human forms. And what would they do? They would bow down and they would worship them. See, that's not a real God. Our God is holy. Our God is exclusive. He alone is God. There is no other. There's none beside him. There is none like him. He is set apart and separate from the rest of what would be called gods, those false gods. He is holy. He's the one true God. He is sacred because he is God alone. And he is the one who sanctifies or separates. When you're associated with God as his holy people, you become holy because he is holy, because he alone is God and he is your God. Now you become holy. Why? Because you're associated with him. You're his. That means that you're special because God is special. See, the fact that the Holy Spirit is God, that means he's special. He's not just an impersonal force. He is God. That makes him something unique. He's set apart from the rest. He's pure. He's clean. I like this. He's unpolluted, or you could say undefiled. There's no mixture in him. He is 100% God. He is the Holy Spirit. He's God. 100%. There's no mixture. He's unpolluted. I like this last part. He's perfectly just and good. That's what makes him holy. So what's he like? He's holy. You know, there's people in our lives that just make us better when we're around them. You know, I think about Cammie up here playing the guitar. I used to play guitar on Wednesday nights when I first came back from Bible college. And I love playing guitar. I'd get up here. I could play a lot of different songs. I could play, you know, I've been playing guitar since I was 13. My dad taught me all the old standards, you know, all the rock and roll, all that kind of stuff. And then growing up in the 90s, I was learning all the, you know, all the hard rock stuff and heavy metal and alternative and hardcore. And then in the 2000s, all that, it was emo and screamer and screamo and screamcore. And I could play all that stuff, you know. I could play any of it. I have my little stomp pads. I could distort it. I could put delays, all that kind of stuff. And just do all, you know, and U2 and all that. I play all of it, right? I could do all that. But then I came to The Rock. And The Rock, you know, we've got some different music every now and then, right? Sometimes you got the Latin flair and that feel, you know, a little shoulder shaking. We have some fun. I could do that a little bit, you know. But then they start playing these gospel standards, man. Stuff that just makes you want to go, he's the King of glory. And on guitar, it's not like G, C, D. You know, it's not like just straight up chunking out chords. And I'd hit these songs and I'd be stopped because I never played no gospel. You know, that wasn't my genre of music. And so I didn't know what to do on a guitar because I'm like, how do I do? That's like bass. I see the letter C there on the sheet music, but it's obviously not just a chord. And I try and play it and it wasn't sounding right. And so I looked over at Cammie, and Cammie's great, isn't he? I mean, this guy, he's got dreads that just won't quit, doesn't he? I wish I could grow some dreadlocks like that. Can you imagine me up here just, I love it. Guy is handsome. He's wonderful. He could play guitar. In fact, Cammie moved out here to go to LA and be a rock star. And the guy's got the chops to do it and has been at this church for decades now. And just been an amazing servant here in the house. I absolutely love Cameron. And so Cammie would be up here and we'd be both on guitars. And I would just go, Cameron, what do I do? And he'd be like, oh, here you go. Just do this, right? And he'd show me this little lick, right? Do you do that? And I go, slow down. It's like when someone's trying to teach you Spanish and they're like, blah, 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 and you're like, stop, you know, slow down. So here he is, he's playing, and so he'd show me, dun, 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 dun. I could do that. He goes, now speed it up, right? So I'm like, ah, cool. He goes, just live right there. What? Just play that, the whole song. So we're up there. And what am I doing? I'm playing the whole song. All of a sudden they yell, key change. What do? I just do a one fret up. Throw a little wah-wah on it, make it sound like wah 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 wah. All of a sudden everyone's like, man, Dan is playing really good gospel guitar. Why? Not because I was that good, but because I was around my boy Cammie. Every week we get a new gospel song. Every week I come back to play. And I can play most of it, but all of a sudden I'd be like, Cammy, what do I do? He's like, oh, come here. You live right here, baby, right here. He just showed me what to do. I got better as a guitar player just by proximity, hanging out and listening and learning and watching. There are times afterwards I wouldn't even ask Cammy what to do. I'd just look at his fingers. I got it. I could do it, right? I figured it out and started to learn, and I grew. You know, if I had to choose one person that in my life, because there's been many, there's plenty of people around here. I look at Dr. Barron, I look at Adam, I look at Pastor Brian, and all the pastoral team that's around here, and some of my friends out here. My brother was in the first service. And there's some people in my life that make me better just because I'm around them. If I had to choose one, I'd choose that woman over here, Pastor Jessica Roth, Jessica Joy. The woman makes me better. I am not that great. I'll tell you that right now. I would not be the man. I would not be the Christian. I would not be the husband. I would not be the father. I would not be the friend. I would not be the pastor or the leader that I am without her right there. Here's the reason why. Because I love her. And when I get around her, I'm happy. Because that's my girl. She's pretty. She smells good. I love holding her hand. I love being around her. I can just relax when I'm with her. It's like all my guard is just down. It drops. And she's amazing. I fell in love with her because she loved God more than she loved me. I was an afterthought. You know what I mean? That was attractive to me. I wanted someone who was just deeply in love with God. And she loves God so much that I look over at what she's doing with God. I'm like, I don't pray like that. Man, I didn't get that from the Word. I need to up my game. See, I'm better because I'm around her. I'm a better Christian. As a husband, there's times where she's told me, Dan, you suck. This Mother's Day thing that you did, I don't ever want to see that again. I become good at giving gifts now. I become better at planning dates now. I've gotten better over the years. Why? Because I'm around the girl, and I love her. There's times where I become a better father because she said, hey, did you see that? Did you hear that? You need to go handle that. I'll be like, what? You noticed it. Why didn't you say it? She says, because I'm not the man. I'm like, oh, okay, you're right. I'll go handle it. See, I'm a better father. Times where, as a pastor, she'll say, hey, are you thinking about it? I don't want to think about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's stuff that I don't want to be bugged with that. I just want to pray and get into the Word of God. I want to preach. I don't want to think about staff issues. I want to think about the budget. I don't want to think about future. I want to think about right now. Right now, I don't want to think about that. But she's like, you better think about that. And she makes me better. Because why? She's better. She's amazing. She's wonderful. And when I get around her, I'm better. See, the Holy Spirit is God. And when you get around him, you're better. Hello. Why? Because he's better. He's holy. He's unpolluted. He's undefiled. He's separate. And that's why the Holy Spirit gets in our life and he sanctifies us. What is that? That's the process of becoming holy. We start to get better. We're not perfect yet. No one's arrived yet. Guess what? As long as we live in this earth suit, we're going to struggle with sin and the flesh and the devil. But when you've got the Holy Spirit in relationship in your life, he's going to remind you of things. He's going to push you into things. He's going to say, hey, you need to be thinking about that. You need to have the conversation. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You're a child of God. Hey, you better go and do that. You're going to be better. And when you watch what he's doing, I can see what God is doing, and all of a sudden you'll get better in life. Are you listening today? See, the Holy Spirit's going to search your heart, and he's going to purge you of anything that stains or separates you from God. Those would be the things that are unholy. Let's take a look at it in Isaiah chapter number 4. Turn there with me in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah. We were quoting from Isaiah 6 when he saw the Lord, but in Isaiah chapter number 4, he's speaking of a people who have been rebellious, people who were the holy people of God who started to do unholy things. And it separated them from the life and the presence of God. And so Isaiah prophesies about the work of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter number 4 and verse number 3 and verse number 4. I told a joke in the first service and they didn't like it. I didn't say it was a good joke. But it's on page 983 in my Bible. So you guys didn't like it either. That's okay. Last week it worked better because it's page one. This week it doesn't work that good. All right, Isaiah chapter 4, verse number 3 and verse number 4. Thank you for those courtesy laughs. I appreciate you. Isaiah chapter number 4, verse number 3 says this, "And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called," anybody know what that word is right there? Holy. He will be called holy. Now, I want you to notice that the people of God in the book of Revelation are called the New Jerusalem. We are living stones built into a spiritual house. So when you see in the Old Testament in prophecy that it's talking about Zion and talking about Jerusalem, it's really speaking of the people of God. So he says, anyone who is left in these places will be called holy. Everyone who's recorded among the living in Jerusalem. Verse 4, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. These are the daughters of Zion, okay? So the place, the holy people of God that has produced someone who is precious. A daughter is special. But he says the filth of the daughters of Zion. This really is speaking towards their idol worship because they had gotten away from God. They'd allowed their hearts to get on things that were not God, unholy things, idolatry. We can read in the Old Testament there was the Asherah, right? A big totem pole type thing that they would worship. It was a demonic goddess that they would bow down and that they would worship in demonic practices. Molech, who they would burn their children in the fire, was a big bronze statue of a man with a bull's head and his arms were out, and they would heat up the inside of it with fire and then they would burn their children as a sacrifice to him, thinking that that was okay. That was the filth that he's talking about because they called that in the Bible spiritual adultery or prostitution. The other word that you might read is harlotry. Unless we start to say, those children of Israel were so bad. Do you know that there are things that take us away from God today? You may not have a little idol. You might not have a little fat man in your living room that you're breaking open fruit to and burning incense in front of. Because we see those things today, don't we? We still see idol worship in our land today. There are things that are going on. People that have little statues in their house that they pray to, that they bow down to, not just of that little fat man, but of others too. There are other people that people worship that is not God. And there are demonic spirits behind those things. You need to listen because it's vitally important with your relationship. Anything that we bow down and worship, what does that mean? That we submit ourselves to obey is an idol to us. And that is not the Holy Spirit. That's an unholy spirit. That is a demonic presence that people are bowing down and we don't even realize it. He said, well, I don't have any idols. I don't worship anything other than God. Really? Because if you are bowing your life down and obeying money, doing whatever it takes to get that dollar, I got to stack that paper. Pastor, you know, I got to work. I got to make that money. I got to do that. Okay. You're bowing down to obey money? That's become an idol to you. Jesus named that spirit Mammon. Are you listening? We need to understand there are still things. There are some people who will bow down to worship sex. Do anything it takes to get in bed with somebody. Get on the app, swiping right, swiping left, doing their thing. Having meetups and hookups in the middle of the night. Can we talk? Is that okay? That's why I said take your children to children's church so we can talk like adults. Because there are things happening in our land that are defiling the land. Spiritual prostitution and harlotry. And we go to church and lift our hands and think we're okay with God when there's an idol in your life. But the people of God are to be called holy. And we're associating ourselves with unholy practice. There are people who will bow down and worship. They will do anything it takes to gain the approval and acceptance of man. They'll spend money they don't have to impress people that they don't know. Hashtag blessed. Look at me on the vacation. I got the photo. Like and subscribe. That approval and that acceptance of man has become an idol. Why? Because you're bowing down your life and obeying it. Presenting yourself. That's spiritual harlotry. And we know that prostitution and adultery is dirty. Is that right? Not only physically because of what takes place, but it's icky. That's dirty. That's not something that's clean. See, the Holy Spirit is a holy God who is clean, unpolluted, and undefiled. And if we're going to be a holy people, we need to be holy, clean, unpolluted, and undefiled. Goes on and it says this In the next part of verse 4, it says, and purge the blood of Jerusalem from her midst. See, the blood speaks of bloodshed. From the very first person who had their blood shed in the Bible, what was that? Cain and Abel. Abel's blood cried out to God from the ground. He was murdered. And that's where it says that we ought to now, under the new covenant, love our neighbor as ourselves. See, the blood is speaking of murder. Well, I haven't murdered anybody. No, but have you hated them in your heart? Is there division? Is there gossip? Is there slander? Is there backbiting? Is there malice? Is there complaining? See, all those things against our brother, God is watching over those things, and a holy people will do their neighbor no harm. I am my brother's keeper. Why? Because God has kept me and God has loved me, and he says to love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm not going to let anything get in between me and God, and then I'm going to treat my neighbor right. So it says that in Jerusalem, for the holy people of God, he's got to cleanse them, the daughters, of their impurity, those things that are dirty and that defile their spiritual harlotry. But then also, he says, of the murder, the things that divide them from one another. How does he do this? Look at the last part of the verse. By the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. See, whatever the Holy Spirit sees, he can judge, and his judgment is true. Why? Because he's God. And he sees things as they are. Therefore, when he sees something that is impure, what does he do? See, the Holy Spirit is also likened to fire in the Bible. And fire burns things up. That's why the Bible says the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. You understand? The Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. Think about it. If he moved into this house, my tent, and he saw something in there that was unholy, what's he going to do with his presence, his fiery presence? Because our God is a consuming fire. He's going to burn that thing up out of the way. Some of you guys are getting a hold of this. Listen, I may sound passionate, I may sound angry, but really this is the best thing that could happen. What did Jesus say about this? Because Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter number 14. Actually, John chapter 16. We'll get to John 14. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Find John chapter number 16, verse number 8 through verse number 11. Remember, John the Baptist said that Jesus would come and baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with what? Fire. See, he's the spirit of judgment, but he's also the spirit of burning. You won't just receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that empowers you, that washes you with his love and makes you a witness, but also with the fire of God. What does that mean? He's going to clean up your life. He's going to purge those things that defile with his burning presence. Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse number 8, down through verse number 11, says this, and when he has come, notice he, not it, the Holy Spirit, the person, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they do not believe in me. See, that faithlessness, anything that does not proceed forth from faith, Romans chapter 14, verse 23, the last part says, is sin. So he's going to convict the world. We're still in this world. This is not just for unbelievers and the non-Christians. This is for the church too. When you start operating in sin and you're out of faith, believing the word of God and operating according to his word, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. He doesn't condemn you. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You have escaped the ultimate judgment of hell. But guess what? If you're headed the wrong direction, he's going to say, no, don't do that. And if you keep going, that fire of his presence will burn you. And if you keep touching fire, what's going to eventually happen is you will become senseless. You will sear your conscience, and you're going to quench the Spirit of God. Eventually, he'll back off and say, have it your way. That's a scary place to be, guys, when you no longer hear the voice of God. And if that's how you are in this place, you need to repent and ask God to grant you repentance and forgiveness. Run to him. And resensitize yourself to the Holy Spirit. Ask him to give you a new heart and a new mind about what you're in. Because some people, sometimes they get so far in sin and they've seared their conscience so much. Not only did they grieve the Holy Spirit with what they brought him into, they've quenched him. He no longer speaks to them in their lives. We need to understand it because this is the Holy Spirit. He convicts of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, verse 10, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The Holy Spirit will tell you what's right and wrong. Righteousness is an old English word meaning the right wiseness. There is a wisdom of God that he has for your life, and the Holy Spirit will show you that way. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Notice there's a way of God and there's a way of the enemy. When there are things in our lives that are unholy and impure, guess what? He will burn those things away. Now, I know we got very serious, so I think it's time for a good joke. Anybody want to hear a good joke now that I've already told a bad one? You guys okay? All right. The other services love this. And so there was a rich man, invited a bunch of his friends and everyone he knew really to his house. He was showing off his wealth. After dinner, brought everyone outside to his backyard. Beautiful backyard. My goodness, had everything. Massive pool. He gathered everyone around the pool. He said, everyone, I've gathered you all here today, and I've done something kind of crazy. This pool is filled with sharks. Everybody looked down in the pool, and sure enough, sharks swimming all around in the pool. There's a gasp. And he says, the reason why I did this is because I wanted to have some fun today, and whoever can swim across this pool without getting bit, I'm going to give them $1 million. A splash across the pool happens at that very moment. Somebody is swimming with all their might. Arms are flailing. Feet are kicking. Water's flying everywhere. All the sharks take notice. Something's just happened. You see their fins kind of swirl around, and they all line up, and they start to chase this guy across the pool. He's swimming. He's up out of the water. It looks like he might even be flying. My goodness, this guy's going so fast. He gets to the other end, and he pops out just in time for all the sharks to kind of chomp, and none of them get him. The rich man is so amazed. He runs over to the guy, and the guy's bent over. And he pats him on the back and says, that was amazing. I didn't think anybody would do that. I mean, it's foolhardy, but you did it. I guess I owe you $1 million. What do you have to say? And the guy says, I just have one question. Who pushed me? You see, when you get around the Holy Spirit, he's going to push you into some areas. He's going to make you better. See, we need to be pushed. We need that little nudge. I know I need it. And I know you do too. Because the Holy Spirit, well, what's he like? He's holy. But there's another name in the Bible that we find out for the Holy Spirit, and that name is Comforter. I love this name because, you know, just like there's people in our lives that make us better, there's also people that when we get around them, oh, finally, they're here. You ever been at a party, you don't know anybody, and you're just kind of sitting there in the corner like, why am I here? This is awkward. I came as a favor to someone else, and, you know, I'm looking for the exit, but I don't know how to get out of here without being rude, you know? Do I just do the Irish goodbye and just kind of, you know, sink out of the place, or what do I do here? But all of a sudden, maybe your spouse shows up or one of your close friends, and all of a sudden, what do you do? Oh, finally, I belong. Okay, I can hang out now. I can enjoy myself. I think of our kids when they were growing up real little, we'd take them to the store and go grocery shopping, that sort of a thing. And, you know, if they weren't in the cart, they were, you know, kind of popping around by us. And at times, kids do what kids do, and they'll kind of start to stray away a little bit. My wife and I, at times, just to teach them a little lesson, you know, we would watch them everywhere they go. But sometimes we'd let them get a little distance away. And just be watching. We'd be scouting and making sure no creepies are walking around looking at them, that sort of a thing. We'd make sure that they were always within reach. Always close enough that we could get to them if anything was to take place, but we'd let them go a little ways away. You know, I think about one time, one of them would go down the cereal aisle, right, and they're looking at the cereal box and turning over, looking at the toy that's inside, and they're thinking, you know, you can see the wheels turning, like, how can I coerce mom and dad to buy me this cereal so I can get that toy? I hate the cereal, but I want that toy, right? And they look up inevitably to now that the plan has been hatched in their thinking, they look around to find out where mom and dad are, and we'd be hiding around the corner of the aisle just watching. Do you think they know? No, they don't know yet. And you could almost see the realization that I am alone in the world fall on them, and the terror strikes. You can just see it in their hearts through their eyes. They're looking around. And we let them kind of stay there in that moment for a second to teach them the lesson that, hey, you don't walk away from mom and dad. You stay close to us, right? That's where the protection is. That's where you're safe. And we would wait for them almost to see like a tear start to come or, mommy, you know, that sort of thing. And we'd, bay, we're right here. It's okay. And what happens? They go, everything's right with the world. Would you buy me this cereal? No, I'm not going to buy you. That's, you walked away from me. You don't get cereal, let alone a toy. But see, just our presence. There's people in your life that I'm sure that maybe you're not even close to them, but if you can just hear their voice on a phone, everything's all right. See, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. When you get around them, you just know everything's going to be all right. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. When you get into his presence, your problems start to pale in comparison. They might have seemed big, but once you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, that's not big. That's big. My Holy Spirit, he's the big one. Everything's going to be all right. See, this is the Holy Spirit whom we love and whom we serve. He's the one who we get around in his presence. There in John 16, turn with me to John 14. I told you we get to John 14. John chapter 14, verse number 16. Says this in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking. And he's telling them that he's getting ready to go to the cross and eventually he's going to ascend to heaven. He's given them kind of his last words on the earth before he goes to the cross. And he starts to talk to them about this. And look at verse number 16. He says, I'll pray to the Father and he will give you, look at this, another helper. Everybody say another. Now that word helper is the same word we translate comforter, okay? But he says, I'll give you another helper that he may abide with you, look at this, forever. So you know you're going to live with the Holy Spirit forever. He doesn't go away when we leave this earth. The Holy Spirit is God. That means we're going to be with him forever. So you might as well get to know him now because you're going to be with him forever. See, when Jesus said, I'll give you another, it means in addition to or in the place of. In this case, we know Jesus was getting ready to leave, not just to the cross, but to ascend to heaven. He was going to finish his time on the earth, and he knew the disciples would no longer have his person with them. Think about that for a second. They've walked with him for 3 years. They've heard his words. They've seen his miracles. And now he says, I'll pray that God will give you another helper. But then drop down to verse number 7 of John chapter 16. Turn back to John chapter 16. I need to turn a page over or something like that. But John chapter 16 and verse number 7. He tells them, he knows as he's talking that these guys are getting sad because they're realizing Jesus isn't going to be with us anymore. We've walked with him for 3 years. We've handled him. We touched him. We've seen his miracles. We've heard his words. We've watched his life. And they've become attached to him. But he says this in verse number 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. What, Jesus, to my advantage? I can't talk to you anymore. I can't give you a hug anymore. I can't walk by your side and hear your voice anymore. Why would that be to my advantage? He says, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. See, the word helper is an interesting word. It's a compound word. It's paraclete. It means comforter, but it also means something else. It means advocate. Jesus was our advocate on this earth, wasn't he? He went to the cross on our behalf. He took the punishment for our sin. He took our sin and our sorrows and our sickness upon himself. He was our advocate. It's almost like a lawyer. When you hire a lawyer, they're your advocate. They're not going to go and fight the case against you. No, they're there for you. See, paraclete means advocate, helper, comforter. God is for you. I thought I'd hear a better amen than that. Some of you guys maybe don't understand what we're talking about. See, but Jesus said the Father would send another. He was saying the same kind as me. Think about it. If I said, hey, I have an apple here. Would you like an apple? And you say, oh, thank you so much. Oh, wow, that apple is so good. And what if I said, hey, would you like another piece of fruit? And you said, yeah. And I gave you an orange. I gave you another, but I didn't give you another of the same kind. Do you understand? So Jesus says, I'm going to give you another helper. He didn't say, I'm an apple and I'm going to give you an orange. It's almost as if he said, hey, would you like an apple? Yes, I'd like an apple. You ate it. Oh, that was so delicious. Can I have another? Yeah, you want another piece of fruit? Yeah. And I hand you another apple. Same kind. Jesus is saying, I'm an advocate. I've been for you. I've been the one who's worked miracles among you. I've spoke wisdom to you. But guess what? Don't be sad, because if I go to the Father, it's more advantageous to you. Why? Because no longer is God confined to one bodily human form. Now I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, who has no confines, who lives in the heart of every believer. And now, if you want to hear his voice, all you got to do is say, hey, Holy Spirit, can you talk to me? If you want to see his miracles, all you got to do is say, hey, Holy Spirit, would you stretch forth your hand to heal and to do miracles and signs and wonders? If you want his presence and you want a hug, you just say, Holy Spirit, would you wrap your arms around me? And he's with every believer, not just Jesus, one on the earth, but God with us and in us. The Holy Spirit, the same one. That's why he's called the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father. It's because it's God, not a different God. It's the same, but a different expression of his person, a greater expression. See, if it was just Jesus and I wanted to go see him, if he was living on the earth today, can you imagine the line? Not just around Jerusalem, around Israel, probably into Iran and Iraq and into China. I mean, just like, think about the line of the billions of people. How long would you be standing in line for? Maybe your whole life. And if everybody got 1 second with Jesus, you'd be like, hey, Jesus. And he'd be like, all right, next. I didn't get to ask my question. I didn't get to talk to him. I didn't get to hear much from him. But with the Holy Spirit, he's with you always. That word paraclete that we mentioned, which is the helper, the comforter, the advocate, that word paraclete is a compound word, just like mailbox, right? It's mail in a box. Paraclete is also a compound word. It means close, para, close. And then kaleo, meaning called. See, the Holy Spirit is one who's called to a close relationship with us. He's our constant companion, and his presence brings us the help and the comfort as he advocates on our behalf. God is for you. He is the paraclete. He's the close one that's called to your side. Called to you in intimate friendship. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, turn there with me quickly. We got to wrap this message up. Preacher, hurry it up. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians, Pastor Romans, find first, and then 2 Corinthians. If you find Galatians, just back up one verse into 2 Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians, chapter number 13, last verse in chapter number 13. This is the ending of the book of 2 Corinthians, really the ending of a letter that he's writing. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 14, he says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love the grace of Jesus? We couldn't save ourselves, but he came and he saved us. We couldn't do life and he empowered us. It's power for life, for salvation, but also for living. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Aren't you glad that God loves you? See, this is the Father. The Father loves you. Our Heavenly Father is a perfect Father, and he loves you with a perfect love. He loves you completely. He knows every dirty thing about you, but he loves you so much. He sent Jesus to save you from your sin and to save you from hell. He loved you so much that he couldn't stand eternity without you. And so he sent his son to die for our sins. God loves us so much. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That word communion is not referring to the bread and wine. That word communion really is referring to a word that we would call fellowship. I think Eugene Peterson, in his message paraphrase of the Bible, got it right when he said, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. See, that's what God wants, is an intimate friendship with us. Not just to know about God where he's a familiar stranger, but to know him personally and intimately. I went to Bible college at a Bible college where the man who started the school was still teaching. He's an old man at this time, and he just lived in another realm. He was a healing evangelist and a great man of God. And, you know, this guy, he lived a spiritual life that not many people live, had visions of Jesus and that sort of a thing. And so, I mean, my experience was way different than that. I just always thought, man, I could never do that. You know, I haven't had a vision from Jesus and can't do the things that he did. I prayed for the sick and they've died, you know, like, this guy's praying for people and tumors are falling off of them. And, you know, they're raising the dead and stuff like that and just kind of crazy stuff. And I couldn't do any of that. One day he blew my mind in class. He was talking and he said, you know, I've never had an alarm clock. Never had an alarm clock. You know, you just raise with the sun and, you know, go to sleep when the, you know, is it that? And he goes, no, the Holy Spirit wakes me up every morning. I thought, I can't do that. And the Holy Spirit checked me. He said, really? I can. I was like, but I'm not like him. He goes, no, but you got the same Holy Spirit he has. I said, then Holy Spirit, would you wake me up tomorrow morning? Now, I tested God a little bit because I still set the alarm. But I was like, God, would you wake me up? And just in case, I still need to get up and go to school the next day, right? I still got to get to work. And so I need to get up in the morning. So let's say I set it for 7 o'clock. I don't know if that's what time I set it for. But let's say 7 o'clock, right? I go to bed that night. I said, Holy Spirit, remember, would you please wake me up in the morning? Yes. Great. Go to bed. My eyes pop open, 6:59. Bing. I'm wide awake. I look at the clock and I'm like, whoa, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Turn my alarm off, get going with my day. It's almost as if God was like, see, I got you. There's times in my life where there's stuff that I need to remember, and I know that I'm not good at remembering things. And so I say, Holy Spirit, would you remind me of that? Just the other day, Pastor Jess was leaving for work, and she says, Dan, I need to do two things. I said, yes. I need you to remember to go get meat out of the fridge and put it in the sink so that it'll thaw so we can have food tonight for dinner. And then that, see that plant over there? Would you bring that plant with you to work? Sure, I got it. She left. I said, Holy Spirit, would you please remind me to get meat out of the freezer and bring that plant? He said, yeah, I will. I'm going about my morning, reading my Bible, drinking my coffee, right? Going, I'm about ready to go upstairs and get ready. And the Holy Spirit says, go get the meat out of the freezer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I go out to the garage, open up the freezer, get the meat out, put it in the sink. Woo, thank you, Holy Spirit. Go upstairs, taking a shower, getting ready to go to work. I'm walking towards the door and whoop, nope, plant. Plant, plant, plant. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Plant, right? Got the plant, brought it to work. It was great. I remember my little guy one time went to camp, and he went to camp and had a great time, came home. A week later, they were doing the camp. They were doing, what's it called? The camp reunion. Thank you. I'm like, refresh. Why is that in there? That's the staff we're doing right now. Camp reunion. And so every kid was supposed to wear their camp shirt to the camp reunion. And so he's racing around the house. Can't find it anywhere. He's opened up the dryer. He's opened up the washer. He, like Jesus, has overturned the tables. I mean, the laundry baskets. All the house is covered in laundry. He's looking through everything. He's gone to his sister's laundry basket. He's gone to his brother's laundry basket. He's gone to my laundry basket. Everything is in shambles all over the place. We've looked in the car. We've looked in the basement. We've looked in the attic. We've looked everywhere. We can't find it anywhere. And this guy's getting ready to have a moment. You can tell he's kind of like holding the tears back, like, where is my camp shirt? I'm not going to be like everybody else, and this is crazy. I can't do this. And so I said, Holy Spirit, where is this camp shirt? And the Holy Spirit just whispered to my heart, go and look in his sleeping bag. I calmly walked over, found the sleeping bag, unraveled it, opened it up, took a peek, unzipped it, because that, don't you know that shirt was tucked down in the deepest, darkest recess of that sleeping. It was all the way where the toes go, you know what I mean, in the corner. I pulled it out, wrinkled it out. I said, hey, here's your camp shirt. He leaps through the air, grabs it, throws it on, and is in the car before I can even finish my sentence. It, maybe not just like that, but you know what I'm saying. Probably stunk, because I don't think we washed that shirt before. I apologized yesterday to our children's ministers in the church service for how he probably smelled at that moment. But, you know, see, here's the thing, though, guys, is you need to understand this, that the Holy Spirit is not Siri. The Holy Spirit is not Alexa. Holy Spirit is not, hey, Google. He's not our trick pony. The Holy Spirit is not ChatGPT. And I cannot say that with more emphasis and grit in my teeth. And that's evident because ChatGPT has been telling kids to kill themselves. I know that spirit. Because the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. There is a spirit at work in that. That's not the Holy Spirit. Stop asking the internet for answers about God. Get a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not going to do your homework like chat. He's not going to write your paper, but he will inspire you. See, why do I give those silly little illustrations of waking up in the morning and remembering a plant and finding a shirt? Here's the reason why, is because if he cares that much about those little things, what an intimate friend he is. Do you know he cares about your marriage? Some of you men might have said, God, I don't know how to be a husband. I never had a good dad. I didn't see a good example. My dad beat my mom, and then he abandoned us. How do I do this? Don't ask chat. Don't ask Google. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you teach me how to be a good father like you are? He'll teach you. Ladies, you might not know how to be the wife that your husband needs. Parents, you may not know how to be the parent that your children need. Ask the paraclete, the one who's called to the close relationship and intimate fellowship. How do I do this? How do I be a wife? How do I be a mother? How do I be a father? How about this one? Some of us in San Bernardino always saw blue-collar jobs, right? And now all of a sudden we're called to start a business, called to upper-level management. And we don't know how to do this. I'm not a leader. My goodness. My dad swept streets. My dad was a garbage man. My mom cleaned houses. How do I be an executive? Hey, Ask your friend, the Holy Spirit, the intimate friend who can show you, because he understands all this stuff. He knows leadership, he knows numbers, he knows budgets, he knows the economy, he knows it all. I like this one. Holy Spirit, how do I be a witness? I mean, these people out here are crazy. In fact, they're opposed to the gospel. And I don't speak that well. Well, listen, if the Spirit of God can come upon Moses and anoint him to speak in front of Pharaoh and be a witness of God's goodness and to lead the millions of Israel that came out of Egypt, how much more can the Holy Spirit baptize you with himself and speak through you to a lost and a dying world? We just got to ask. The Holy Spirit will help us. He is an intimate friend, not a familiar stranger. He's not an it, he's a he who has a personal relationship with his own. I got to stop. We're going to go over time today. Is that okay? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and just take a moment and just say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? And then listen for his voice. Doesn't take long for God to speak. You probably heard a gentle whisper in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now. And as a witness, God spoke a word to me. He's done this every service. He spoke a word to me that he spoke to some of you in this place. I'm going to say this word, but I want you to test your heart right now. What did God speak to me? What was the word that I heard in my heart? And if God spoke this word to you, I want to see by a showing of hands who heard this word in their spirit as well. Okay, because I heard the word. Here's the word. Decide. If you heard that word in your spirit when we said, what is God speaking to you? Would you just lift up a hand in the air right now? Oh, I see you. All right, I see you up on top. Yeah, I see you right here in the center section. I see you up in the back right up front here. I see you guys up there. Yeah, wow. A bunch of you guys heard that word. That's amazing. See, we need to be trained to understand how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. When you hear those gentle whispers and then the pastor calls it out from the platform, I think God is trying to get your attention. Because the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. God is establishing there's a decision in your life that you need to make. And he wants you to decide. He will back you as you follow his lead. That's the word of the Lord for you. Write that down. And write down the decision, not only that you're wrestling with, but what you're deciding to do. For some of you, you're deciding to serve the Lord. As you do, God's going to bless you. You'll succeed. But if you don't serve the Lord, I'm warning you now, you will not succeed. Because you'll be given to idolatry. For some of you, there's a business decision that you're wrestling with, and God is saying, if you will choose to do it my way, then I'll back you. You'll prosper. Your business will be blessed. Plain and simple. Some of you are deciding in relationships and God is saying, choose. Do you want me or do you want them? That's a hard decision. But when you realize the Holy Spirit is God and how much he loves you and his intimate friendship, it becomes an easy decision. You must choose. Maybe several of the choices that are going on, God knows. Write it down. Write it down. Thank you, Father. Can we just take a moment and just tell the Holy Spirit, I love you? Just tell him right now. In your own words, I love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for being my intimate friend. Do you feel his tenderness right now? His presence is here. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we give the Lord a praise today? Can you just praise the Lord? Hallelujah. We've taken some time. We've talked about the Holy Spirit who loves you so much. And today he's drawing you. He's willing. You can feel a tug at your heart. Because you know in your heart of hearts that if you died today, if today was your last day, that you wouldn't make it. Some of you are unsure. Maybe you've been in church all your life and you just thought by association with the church that that gets you into heaven. But nothing could be further from the truth. There's going to be a lot of church people that don't make it to heaven. The Bible's clear about that. Jesus talked about it himself. You don't go to heaven just because you attended a church service, because you were raised in church, because your parents told you were Christians growing up. Because you wore a cross or St. Christopher, because you were baptized or christened as a child or went to religious classes. It's not going to get you into heaven. Sometimes you say, oh yeah, you don't just have to go to church, you also have to be good. I've been a good person, I'm gonna go to heaven. Do you know there's gonna be a lot of good people that end up in hell? And the reason why is because no one can be good enough to earn your way into heaven. I had one guy one time tell me, Pastor, I'm working on my resume. Listen, you can line up as many good deeds on a piece of paper as you want, and it will never earn you a place in heaven. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The just punishment and penalty for our sin is eternal separation from God. That's called hell. It's a place of darkness, a place of burning. No one wants to go there. I don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. More than both of us, God doesn't want us to go there. That's why he made a way through his son, Jesus Christ. We talked about it in the message, Jesus Christ, right? The Savior of the world who went to the cross and died for our sins. You say, Pastor, I know that. I know God. I know about Jesus. Celebrate Easter and the resurrection. Sing the songs at Christmas. Every year of my life, I've got scriptures memorized, Old and New Testament. That's great. You know who else knows all that and can quote scriptures? It's the devil. He's not a Christian. He's not going to heaven. So what makes you think that just because you know about God and can quote a scripture or sing a song that it gets you right with him and you get to go to heaven? It doesn't work. The demons believe and they tremble. Why? Because they know they're not going to make it. Everybody look up at me for a second. This is not about what you have up here in your head, being able to memorize a scripture or know about God. It's not about what you've done out here with your hands, your church attendance, your involvement, your good deeds, your good works. Listen, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. Not all roads lead to heaven. God's way is the only way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man goes to the Father except by me. So what's God's way? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus said it like this, you must be born again. Now, I know our society's rake that through the coals, but don't let them define for us what being born again is. Let's let the Bible do that for us. Being born again means that you have surrendered all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ. And as you do, God comes in and he makes you brand new on the inside. You are born of the Spirit of God because you have a spirit on the inside of you. In fact, that's the real you on the inside. You are a spirit that has a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions that lives in a body. And when you surrender everything to God, even though you might look the same and smell the same, guess what? God makes you brand new on the inside. You become born again. You get to head for heaven and deny hell. You say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Listen, it's not just a one-time prayer and then you live like the devil the rest of your life. Don't kid yourself. God is no fool. It's not magical, abracadabra words. It's a surrender of all of your heart and all of your life. That means even if you mess up, you dust off and you keep following God, you repent, you turn from your sin and you keep going. You don't give up. Jesus said this. He said, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit from my mouth. That shows me lukewarm, half-hearted Christianity is not real Christianity at all. And the Bible warns us, watch lest you fall. Some of you might be backslidden. You seared your conscience like I talked about. And you need to repent and turn from your way, and you need to make a rededication to the Lord and come back to the things of God, surrendering all of your heart and all of your life, getting rid of that filth, and allowing the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning to come and to cleanse that out of you. It's time to turn. It's time to be holy. It's time to serve God. And whether this is your first time or maybe it's a rededication, you need to give God all of your heart and you need to give God all of your life. I'm gonna count to three, pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, when you hear that sound, I want you to simply raise your hand. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Today it's your call. Today it's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing, and that is a choice. Or how about this? Choose life today. Surrendering to God all of your heart and all of your life. Don't worry about being embarrassed. Don't let the devil lie to you. Tell him to go to hell. You're not going with him. You're going on with God today. Don't let your flesh hold you back or try and be embarrassed about this. Listen, be bold. Everyone in this room who's a Christian has all walked away from some sort of a past. We're all ex-somethings in this place. All of us have things that we're ashamed of that we did that we wouldn't dare to speak. And yet, God's not in therapy over your sin. He loves you so much, he's beckoning you right now. Will you boldly surrender all of your heart, all of your life to me, acknowledging your need for Jesus by simply raising your hand? I'm gonna count to three, pop my hand on this microphone. If you've been running from God instead of two, God, I'm speaking to you. If you're not sure about your salvation, make sure. If you've never done this before, but you've been in church all your life, and you never crossed that line, today's your day, or maybe you're lukewarm or backslidden, you need to get right with God or make a fresh dedication to the Lord. This is your time. One, two, three. Let me see your hands, just raise them up high right now. Thank you, there's one up top. I got you over there. Who else today? One wise person already. I know there's a whole lot more you need to surrender to God, all of your heart and all of your life. There's two up on top there. Thank you. There's three right here. Yes, God bless you. There's another one. I'm looking for you. Another one. Anybody else? There's three wise people already. Who else today? You need to surrender to God, all of your heart. Four, I got you up there. Yeah, thank you. God bless you. There's five up on top. Yeah, I got you right there. Thank you. God bless you. Who else today? You need to surrender everything to God. I got you. Number six. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Seven and eight up top. Yeah. Yeah, got you right there. Who else today? Need to surrender to God all of your heart and all of your life. I didn't embarrass them and I won't embarrass you. Number 9 and 10, got you right there, yeah. Praise the Lord. God is so good. If you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you, remember that intimate friend. He's tugging at your heartstrings right now saying, will you surrender? Will you surrender to me? Listen, he loves you. That's why he's doing that. Not to embarrass you or call you out. He loves you so much. He wants relationship, intimacy, and friendship. Wants to clean you up. That world that you're walking away from right now. Who else today? About 8 or 9 wise people. Anybody else? I'm going to give you one more opportunity, one more moment. Anyone else? Pointing this direction. I'm looking for you. Give me a little wait. Ah, yes. Thank you. I got you right there. Wonderful. Yeah, got you right here. Fantastic. Best choice right there. I think that's about 10. Anyone else? Last call. We're going to wrap this up for time's sake. The preacher has held you captive long enough. Who else? Who else? Come on. Let's go. Hey, got you in the back. Yeah, wonderful. Great choice. Bold move, but man, that's courage right there. I commend you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Last call. Last call. We're going to wrap this up. Anyone else? All right. Quickly, no one leave. I'm going to let you go in a minute. Would you all stand? And those of you that raised your hand, you should have raised your hand. Would you just get out of your seat and meet me right up here in front? We want to pray with you. Come on down right now. Come on down. Come on, let's welcome them, church family. If you're next to somebody that raised your hand, or maybe they did raise their hand, but you know they needed to, just nudge them. Say, come on, friend. If you need to go, I'll go with you. And bring them right now. Bring them on down. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. Come on, you can come too. Hallelujah. They're coming. Make way to the front right now. Come on. Don't worry about what your neighbor's doing, what they think. This is your time. This is your moment. Come on down. They're coming. They're coming from the foyer. If you walked out from the breezeways, you can come back in right now. Come on. Come on down. Hallelujah. They're still coming. Come on. If you need to come, just step out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Come on down. They're still coming. We already exceeded 10. Come on. There's more of you. You need to come. Just come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Just come to the front. Just making sure, hey, everybody up front, put a big smile on your face. This is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. Came to give God all of your heart, came to give God all of your life. Had a guy in the first service, said, Pastor, I just want to thank you. 1 year ago, I gave my heart to the Lord. Man, my life has changed. I said, tell me the truth now. Tell me the truth, because oftentimes I say this, there's no commitment worth anything without consistency. And I say this, and I'm going to say this to you guys today. Give us this next year. Keep coming to the church. Keep reading your Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. Okay? Pray. Every day, talk to God. Holy Spirit, what's up? My friend, right? Talk to God, just like I'm talking to you right now. You don't need the these and the thous and all the old English words. You just need to be real with God and talk to him. And he'll talk to you. It's amazing when God speaks to you. It's wonderful. Do that consistently over this next year. Your life's gonna change. I guarantee it. I asked him, I said, tell me the truth. Is your life changed? He said, amazing. Absolutely. You weren't lying, Pastor. Gave him a big hug. I hope next year, February 1st, 2027, you come and say, Pastor, you weren't lying. My life has changed. Amen. It's my friend, Pastor Joel. For time's sake, I'm gonna have him pray with you, give you some free stuff, free literature, find out what just happened, what to do next, and then after a couple minutes of your time, he'll let you go. He'll introduce you to some friends, okay? People wanna encourage you. If you're friends and family that came with you, they'll wait for you, okay? And if your children are in children's ministry, they're safe until you get there, okay? Make a left turn, follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give them a hand as they go. Please forgive me. I try and respect your time to get you guys out, and we have taken you guys 15 minutes over. But you know, it's hard to go short when you're talking about your friend, the Holy Spirit, isn't it? I tell you, man, anybody get something for the word of the Lord today? Hey, real quick, before I dismiss you and before I bless you as we go, something unique is happening here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center tonight. This week, my beautiful wife, Pastor Jessica, ministered on Wednesday night. Her mom, Pastor Deborah, ministered on Thursday morning at Women Rock AM 9:30. I heard it was amazing, by the way. And I might peek in on that message, and just, even though I'm not a woman, I'm a man. Hello. But how many know we can learn from whatever word is being spoken? Doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, it's the Holy Spirit. Tonight, a third generation minister of the gospel from this family is gonna be on this platform. Tonight, my daughter, Chloe Roth, is gonna be ministering the word of God at the 6 p.m. service. Here's the reason why this is so unique is that I've heard of third generation pastors. Rick Warren at Saddleback, Pastor Rick, he was a third generation pastor. That's all he ever wanted to do. That's unique. I don't know a lot of third generation pastors. Now, even less, I don't know a lot of third generation. In fact, I tried and searched my, just a second generation female preacher. I'm looking at Baron and Lisa. Second generation, but third? I mean, it's almost unheard of in the church world. Third generation female preacher. Now you say, well, that's your daughter. Of course she's going to preach. Listen, you guys don't know the Holy Spirit in her and what God is doing in her life. From a young age, she served the Lord, had a heart for ministry, had a heart for people greater than some other people that I know. She's unique and special, and God is doing something in her life. Currently, she attends Vanguard University, where she's the chaplain over all the discipleship on the campus. She's been ministering and preaching the gospel there on that campus. She's preached in our youth group and our young adults group and has ministered the gospel in different places. And next year, they're looking at her, considering to make her the chaplain over the entire school. God is doing something in her life. Some of you guys were at RockCon when Pastor Julian invited her to preach at Oasis, and we said, girl, if you're going to be preaching at Oasis on a Sunday morning, we want to get you prepared for that here at The Rock, at home, where you're comfortable, where there's a family that loves you. So would you guys do me a favor tonight? Would you come and bring your best amens and hallelujahs and claps for Chloe Roth as she comes and ministers the word tonight? Holy Spirit's going to minister through her, all right? It's not the young or the old, the male or the female. It's God working through his ministers. Let me bless you. Let me get you out of here. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, welcome to the family of God. Pastor Joel wants to welcome you in your new life with Jesus. We at The Rock Church and World Outreach Center want to help you intentionally grow. Pastor Dan wrote this little resource that's downloadable right on the website to you. Now that you're new, what are you going to do? This resource is to help you grow. This resource is to build you up, like Ephesians says in chapter 4, verse 1, to grow into all aspects of Him. Who's Him? Jesus. We have a culture here that at The Rock, where people like us do things like discipleship. Discipleship matters to us, and discipleship matters to you. Why does it matter to you? Because you need to grow. If you're ever on site, on campus, one of our faithful friends is here waiting for you. Faithful friends are designed to build relationship and community with you. You grow intentionally, you don't grow automatically. Thank you for checking in, and thank you for giving your life to Jesus. Let's grow together with one big family. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.